What's up, everybody? This is Taste Test Podcast. This is your host, Jonathan. We are back here again. This is the third episode of our second season Taste Test Podcast. If you are new, we're here to provide a warm, engaging platform for music lovers and enthusiasts. We seek to simply share our thoughts and opinions on the happenings in the world of music. And today we got a very, 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 very special guest in the building, baby. It's my boy. We go back like four flats, you know. I'm gonna let him introduce himself. So you just...
What's good? It's your boy Thomas Anthony, known as TA _ Fitness Guru. I'm almost up there. I ain't a guru. Yeah, sound kind of nice, right? But the only _TA. Yeah, I'm on here today. Give you my feedback on some great content, inspirational music by no other than Kanye. You know, he brought me back to Christ.
All right. We get it. And if you are new to Taste Test Podcast, make sure to follow, subscribe. All that good stuff. We are on pretty much any music platform, or I should say podcast platform. You can find us on Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts, I should say Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. Also on Instagram at Taste Test Podcast, Twitter Taste Test Pod, Facebook Taste Test Podcast. And with those, That introduction being said, we're going to go ahead and just jump right into it. So, as you introduce yourself there, T.A., let's get to know you a little bit better. So, who exactly is T.A. and what brought you into the world of music, per se?
Well, okay, T.A., Thomas Anthony. T.A. is a person, as I like to say, very well-rounded, that loves to hear perspectives, is into fitness, that's pretty much going around spreading positive vibes, whether it's through music, you know, motivational content, you know, even through scripture, you know, because a lot of people don't know I'm a preacher's kid. So, you know, I like this, bring some little motivation to, you know, from scripture and how it aligns to our day-to-day lives through faith. And so, you know, just D'Angelo's is, you know, is the actual name of who I am, but, you know, Thomas Anthony is the brand, the person that stands on, you know, believing faith, power, and music.
Cool. So, what would you say your music tastes are? What was the roots of your music taste?
Well, I grew up in a household, you know, that was really big on Motown because that was like the prominent era of Black culture music when it started to elevate, you know, from Temptations, you know, the Supremes. You talking about, you know, who else I can bring up? Smokey Robinson, yeah. And Sam Miracle, Cooke. Sam Cooke. Shoot, it's so many names that you can think about just coming from that era, you know, Aretha Franklin, Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight, you know, that music within itself. And then over time, as I just grew up around that music, you know, just the Jackson 5, Martha Reeves, you know, just that traditional foundation where black music culture really stems from when it became, I guess, prominent things from that era. So I'm talking from the 50s all the way up until about the 70s. And then even during that time, my grandparents kept me kind of in tune with what music was then. Because back then, music had meaning. It meant something. It didn't just come from a place like down today. You got mumble rappers just coming up with stuff. And it has no real actual meaning. So I think that's really what drew me to music. And then, you know, when I came, you know, I'm from the 90s. I don't ever put my age out. So, you know, you got the Drew Hill, LSG, you know, Babyface. The soft, sweet voice, you know what I'm saying? Then you had Keith Sweat. And the man was making him sweat. You had Drew Hill, Jacket Edge, who Brian McKnight, people be sleeping on that, Calvin Richardson, Carl Thomas. You know, I came from that, like, far as like real R&B and soul music background, because my mom would always play when we used to go to school, and I used to have, like, my favorite song, you know, playing so I can, you know, pop out the whip and the people know who I be, you know. You know, this is just not D'Angelo coming into school. This is the D'Angelo come to your school. So, you know, that's really where the motivation, where I came from with music. And so then I did music myself, from singing, writing, producing, and I'm getting back in that realm of things, going back and just doing my own thing. So I'm really, like, really getting back into being, in, you know, infused with music. I think music now is very, you know, I can say it's very eclectic if you are a true artist. Because I think we're getting away from true musicianship. That's really something that I've noticed when it comes to music, is that, you know, not a lot of people actually play and create their own music, you know. And I think it's really hard when you don't do that, because it's hard to really put you into it, to embody it, you know. My favorite, like, hip-hop artist right now, I would have to say, far as the lyrics is, you know, even just what considers an MC, to me, Jay-Z is an MC. He evolved and elevated with, you know, duration of time. And so if you ever listen to how he breaks down music, everybody don't listen to words and stuff like this. Like, to me, if I have to pick the genre of music, I know I'm spazzing right now just talking about everything. If I had to pick a genre of music, you know, like, if it was a genre, conscious, you know, rap, conscious hip-hop, where you actually have to...
Let's even break down what conscious hip-hop is, because people have, a set mindset. Because, like, people, when they think about Jay-Z, I don't think they really think conscious hip-hop. They think, like, hustler, drug, you know, came from drug, and now he, like, this big businessman. But they don't necessarily equate consciousness with that. And I think that's a little miss. You know, it's a false way of looking at consciousness, because I think we all have it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
We all have it in certain pockets, but
I think
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's like when you tap into yourself.
Yeah.
I think we spoke about this prior to we started recording the podcast. It's really talking about mindfulness and cognitive dissonance. When you recognize cognitive dissonance, and when you're outside of yourself, and then mindfulness has to redirect you back to center yourself, to become more introspect and really question some things. So when you're thinking of conscious hip-hop, you're just not rapping with the thought of just, it's just the beat and the music. It has to make sense, you know.
It has to be intentional. You have to have a certain goal in mind when you finish
Matter of
the
fact,
track.
People don't believe this, but I'll say, I'm going to give Lil Wayne some credit. Cause
Lil Wayne is a monster.
Before, I would say even Jay-Z. Jay-Z has always done it. Like, he started to get better over time, but I feel like Lil Wayne was really big with words, far as metaphorically, everything having, like, kind of a meaning behind it. Like, it matched up. So when you don't have to go back and really have to go to and question the actual verse itself or that part of the bar to understand how did this ended up at the end of the actual finish of the 16. You know what I'm saying? Everything had, like,
it was a structure to it. And it was amazing, because this is Jay-Z and Lil Wayne are people that don't even write their rhymes out. It's all up here in their brain. And that just goes to show you,
that's conscious rap.
Your mind is the most powerful tool you have at your disposal.
It's your mind within your brain within itself is so impressionable. And so when you think about energy, you have to kind of watch what you're sowing into your space. Right. Because your mind
feeds on that
it consumes
stuff,
yeah. It. It's nutrition. People don't believe this. So another part of me, I'm into fitness, so I try to help out whoever I can when it comes to overall health and wellness. And so when it comes to people that want to lose weight, they go into this idea that you have to be on this crazy diet to drop weight. That's not true. You're talking to a person that dropped over 100 pounds. And so within 2 years. And so it's a little different. It wasn't about me, you know, being on a strict diet. It was like just cutting out things, portion control. And then, like, you know, what I was feeding myself. So long as I was, like, putting motivational stuff in my head and stuff like that, it was causing me to rack to make sure I pretty much ate right. You know what I'm saying? So it's what you put into your body, you'll see the results.
So would you consider music as a tool that you use to feed yourself on a daily or just weekly basis? Is that what you're trying to say?
I would say yes, simply because music is so powerful. Like, yeah, I know I don't want to go off script. Music is very powerful, so it's just basically you get what you put in. That's why I think about weight loss, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you eating fatty foods, you're going to be, you know,
fat.
As simple as that. And then if you eating healthy, you know, you're eating as clean as possible, you're going to see the end result. You know, everything is a process. Like you said earlier, like, not to get off from the question, I think, because we talked about everything. But failure is not really a thing. Everything is almost like a lesson. You learn from it. And so that's really what it is. That's what I feel like hip hop is. It's never a failure. Like, you try something new and you learn the lessons, the repercussion from it. So, what was your question again? Just make sure.
Where was your music taste and then what draws you to the world of music?
Yeah, see, we start rambling about other stuff.
No, it's all good because it all relates back. Yeah. I had another question, but you can finish and then I'll ask it.
Yeah, I think that's what makes conscious hip hop. Your awareness is no longer just about just rapping to the beat like how it was back in the 80s. You know, Sugar Hill and all that hip hop. You don't stop rocking to the bang bang. You know, it was like you rapping to the beat. You have to catch that. Now it's more about
you are the beat.
You are the beat.
Become the beat.
You are the vibe. You're like the flow. I always say like this. Everybody trying to the best for. I don't care what nobody says. Sleep on chance if you want to. But not everybody can ride the wave, ride the wave, ride the wave. And nobody understood what he was saying on that verse.
Sleep on chance.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
It went to like a freeze mode, like something was skipping. Ride the wave, ride the wave. Not everybody can hop on the same thing. So it's one of those things like conscious hip hop is like when people who are very aware of themselves and aware of what they're saying and they understand that they are the vibe of the music, they are the beat. Mm-hmm. Things flow, and it comes from the purest place of the brain. It's just natural. Yeah. It's not something that you had to put on.
Yeah, and I heard you speaking earlier, and then we're going to jump in. We'll try to do a little bit of music trivia after this question. But you were speaking about lessons or whatever that music can teach. What do you think are some of the lessons that music has taught you throughout your lifetime here?
I think, to be honest, it's like... you know, I think I'm going to play it in the background. You know, I'm a Nipsey Hussle fan. I'm not, like, really with the, you know, how everyone riding a wave. But, you know, I'm not saying that. And you got to think about it. This, you know, you never realize how powerful somebody's spirit is until they're gone, right? And so, you know, how most people, they're affected. And I don't really question how people are affected, you know, what made them, you know, become Nipsey fan. But to me, if you're just going back listen to some of his old stuff,
you've been preaching this stuff
for years,
from the inception of him.
Like it was mine.
I think currently, like I say, the song where he did "I Do This."
1,000 burpees on the path.
You gotta be.
What album was that from?
That was from Slauson Boy 2.
Okay.
It's called "I Do This," and it's basically like this, man. You can't really listen to what people telling you what you should be, and that's what really drew me into music. It's like it's taking catastrophic risk, like no matter what the odds are, and we are afraid to jump.
You gotta look at it like this: the bigger the risk, a lot of times bigger the reward.
Right? And so that what really like drove me to music. Like, I think even with you knowing me, John, like it's really like I'm anti-conscious rap, where you have to really dissect a song and really listen. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's a big problem with our generation. We love the beats and the flows, but we're not listening to what a person's saying. And that's why it's so important to make sure what they're saying, you're intaking and making sure, like, are these, like, is this something I want to emulate? You know what I'm trying to say? And if you're not conscious of that, you could be out here emulating something that you may not even agree with, but you're emulating it before you even know it.
Right. So that's where the lack of appreciation for the artist comes in, because you're not really paying attention to what they're saying. You're appreciating, like, the visual, what you think it is. Nah, it's a lot bigger than that. Now, I think that's what conscious rap is. It's a lot bigger than just, you know, listening to a song that just, like, it's hot, radio play hot, you know, it's good to turn up to. Nah, I think music is so powerful to the point it really questions your existence and where you stand as a human being. And if you out here walking stagnant and you're not listening, you know,
to that inner voice,
that inner voice is telling you, hey, this is what you need to be doing while everybody else is doing the way. Like, how many people you see on Instagram putting on a facade, faking like they out here doing the big things, right? And people want to follow that, you know. I feel like when you listen to certain artists, it kind of makes you tap into, like, why? Question that inner self, like, why are you doing this? That's, to me, that's what conscious rap is. It makes you question self.
So, yeah, I think that's a good point, because, like I was saying earlier, everybody has this set idea of what conscious hip-hop is. Conscious hip-hop is basically you being conscious of yourself, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's basically what you were trying to say, right?
Yeah, basically, mindfulness and awareness. That's what I said, like, mindfulness is, it really allows you to really check that inner voice, to really question those things and kind of be like, oh, is this really what it is, or is it ain't? No, excuse the grammar, but you get what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, with that being said, listen, let's jump into some music trivia. I know you always trying to look at the questions or whatever. I'm going to shoot out.
Today's Sunday.
It is Sunday. It's not wrong.
This is the Lord's Day.
It is the Lord's Day. Ain't this no is trivia. The day the Lord has made, and we rejoice and be glad in it. So we go.
Hey, ain't no trivia, bitch. What's some new kids be saying today? I teach kids, so you know, I be having to keep up with these new words. Like, I found out what it was, capping. I was like, capping, whatever. It's saying you lying. Oh my gosh.
Yes,
man, you capping.
Ain't great.
Y'all know how to use that in a sentence.
But I'm gonna shoot out maybe about five questions here for you, Mr. D'Angelo, just to test to see what your knowledge is in hip hop history, I guess. These is not gonna be too hard, so don't overthink it.
Is it a multiple choice? You know, I feel like...
Some of them are multiple choice.
I'm an inner city public school student, Lord, so I just want to throw that out there. I didn't go to private school, so multiple choice is kind of... It's almost risky.
They do multiple choice in private school, too.
I don't care, man, but it's like you're taking a chance.
You got to write long essays, too.
I know, right?
Pointless essay. Like, come on, man.
I tell Kat, when you go to grad school, you're going to feel like you're a novelist. I was like,
you about to write the story of your life.
Bro, I wrote a whole book.
Right. So, question number one is called Complete This Biggie Smalls Line. It's a song from the song called Juicy, and it goes like this. I let my tape rock till my tape is either rocked, stopped, dropped, or popped. I'm going to say it again. I let my tape rock till my tape.
Do that again, bro.
I let my tape rock till my tape. Rocked, B stopped, C dropped, or D popped. Dude, don't play the song now.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I was thinking about it.
Come on, it's Juicy. It's one of the biggest, smallest, you know.
I let my tape pop.
It's pop. Yeah, that's the answer. You got it, bro. I told you don't think too hard about it.
I ain't about thinking too hard. You trying to do questions. I ain't in school no more. I'm the teacher now.
Whatever, man. All right. Question number two. Who was the rapper from Compton, California, who was at one time signed to G-Unit Records?
The Game, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, that was a horrible move.
Signed to G-Unit. Hey, he got up out of it, though.
He did get up out of it, but, like, even now, like, man, I love the Game, man. I ain't gonna talk about my affiliations, but I love the Game, and And I feel like he shouldn't have made that move. He's nah, but he almost signed with Death Row. That would have been a worse move. Once you get in there, can't come out.
Cool. So,
bro, you don't want nobody in your music videos? All in the videos. Go on to Death Row.
All right, question number three. Who sings "Cause I Am Whatever You Say I Am" in the paper, the news, every day I am?
What do you mean?
Okay.
Mediocre. I got a B right now, so even if I fail the last two, it's still.
No, I think you got all them right so far. Okay, so question four. Try to guess the artist for this lyric. God show me the way because the devil trying to break me down.
Oh,
the thing that I pray is my feet don't fail me now.
Jesus walk with me. You know what it is, the young and restless. You know my Kanye friend, bro. Shout out to him.
All right, this is the last and final question.
You need a church.
This is the last and final question.
You laughing? You need a church. I will support. If Kanye get a church, I'm becoming a deacon or usher.
Hey, bro, hold on, bro. We gonna get.
I'm telling you, it will save this generation.
We're going to get to Mr. Kanye. Calm down.
Oh my bad.
All right. Last and final question. In 1996, what was the name of Busta Rhymes' album released in that year? In 96.
That's crucial. I'm trying to
a lot of people sleep on Busta too.
Yeah, I think that album he came. I want to. Was it that the album who's like, "Do you really want to party with us?"
I'll throw out a song that was on the album. It's called "Hoo Ha." That was one of the songs that was released on that album.
In 1996.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 96. There was a lot of albums dropped in 96.
That's
man.
What I'm saying.
That
like
that was a great year.
Yeah, it was a great year. It was before back that.
Right.
Girl, you look good.
Take it over, but I'm not.
I don't know. I feel like that's when Busta really came out because
was. Yeah, this is really when he was really starting to take off.
Dude got coming in it?
Yeah, that's the name.
The coming.
Man, you got it all right. I think you did better than my last guess. Shout out to KB.
Hey, I like KB. Boy. Hey, shout out KB, man. I'm out here. You already know what it is. Thomas Anthony. Follow your boy.
Hey,
the only _ TA. All right, bro. You got it.
All right.
Trying to promote myself.
All right. So we are going to keep it moving.
Kind of
yeah. For this particular week, we listened to the album by the rapper known as Logic. He dropped Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. I believe he dropped that last month. So, yeah, we're going to dive into this album. First off, let's just start off with our overall thoughts on the album. I guess I can go first, unless you want to.
Yeah. I'm ready to
go first. My thing, okay. I like Logic. So, like, what I'm about to say is, like, it may come off as harsh criticism, but it's really not because I really know, like, his potential, like, or whatever. I feel like he's coming up short. I think he's overexerting himself with all these albums he's been putting out lately. I think he may need to take, like, a break, maybe a 1 or 2 year break just to kind of refocus himself because, like,
it sounds the same.
Yeah, the last three albums sound pretty much, you know, it's basically, you know, going down a factory line or whatever. It's like a symbol, like, you know exactly what you're going to get. Like, it's a certain package, and it's just like, for artists, like, for music artists, you are supposed to always be creating, trying to create something new, trying to find different areas of yourself and express that to the world, and I think he's been able to do that with the last four albums he's dropped.
I think about it, because remember, he dropped Bobby Tarantino 2.
I thought that was okay.
Then he dropped YSIV.
He also dropped Everybody. Everybody
was
cool.
2017. Everybody
was cool, but it wasn't. He didn't nail it. I don't feel like he nailed it.
Even though that was his focus, but you gotta think about it though.
I mean, when you doing something that people really don't want to hear talk about, mm-hmm. I mean, could you really say he nailed it? I think it's just that people weren't trying to hear that.
I think
that,
he messed up because he changed the title. The original title, I forget the name of it. I think it was called Africanus. And I think he should have still used that, being able to play off the fact that he is a biracial man or whatever, and the fact that he did everybody. And I don't feel like he talked, when you have a title like that, you got to talk about, at least, I know you can't possibly talk about everybody, but I don't think he covered enough of the spectrum to call the album Everybody. And that's what, like, really, like, threw me off about that particular album. But outside of that, I thought it was, the idea was good. For the most part, I feel like he did what he needed to do on the album. But especially with this, back to this album, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. And I've only listened to this album maybe twice. So this critique may be just slightly off once I listen to it more. But with that disclaimer, I still feel like the first 3 to 4 songs, it was like, okay. But after a certain point, it was just like, either shorten the album, or if you're going to do a longer album, it has, like I said, it has to be intentional. And I don't think it was, like, it was more like, all right, I want to put out an album for the fans, so let me just put it out. And I don't like, after listening to the album, that feeling, I don't like that feeling, like, oh, I just threw this out here just because I know people been waiting on me. Like, nah. It's okay to take your time if the product is going to be right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts. And I'm going to let you go ahead and jump into your overall thoughts, T.A.
I think Logic's album, just, you know, let me take the comparison off the last 3 albums. I'm a huge fan of Logic because I feel like, you know, when it comes down to lyricist, I think he is a true lyricist. You can really have to listen to what he's talking about. He's a true lyricist. But, you know, the debate between Mixtape Logic and album Logic is very clear. Mixtape Logic will always be better simply because there's...
He's himself.
He's himself. Exactly. And there's no... I want to say there's no underlying focus. Does that make sense? Because there's...
I can see that. I can see that.
Because there's no boundaries that he cannot cross. You know what I'm saying? Versus when you do an album, it has to be very specific.
Because you're underneath the label, and the label sometimes is trying to pressure you to do certain things, which I get. But I still feel like it can be done because we've seen it. Jay-Z, he's done it. Even fast forward today, J. Cole's doing it. Kendrick has done it. You know, still, I believe he still will be doing it. So it's an explanation, but it's not an excuse. I'm not going to let, especially when I see you got potential, I can't let you off the hook for that. You know what I'm saying?
No, I definitely agree with you. I'll say this, and I'll leave it at this. I think Logic's album, production-wise, was great. Oh, so, man. You know, don't take my criticism wrong, but I'm just looking at who he is as an artist, and I feel like these last 3 albums are pretty much the same. I'll be honest, without the features, the album wouldn't be great. It'll be, like, great production, something decent to listen to, but it will be not an album now I can't put on replay. And yes, I think that, you know, I feel like, you know, he's talking about the same thing, and I get it with him being biracial, depression, mental health. The thing is about it is, if you're going to still come from everybody's album, you have to come from a different, you know, perspective. Also, a different, just, again, wave with it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? There's ways to tell a story.
Yeah.
They still show that you're evolving as an artist. And I feel like, you know, be real, without the features, this album would suck. And I think that the issue, this is probably has nothing to do with it, but, you know, this goes into hip-hop and what we define as black, white, biracial. You know, when it comes to a biracial individual, in some cases, let's think about it like this. When they grow up, they have to identify and choose.
Two worlds.
You know, they two different worlds. So, you know, it is weird because, like, for the girls, it's a little bit different, right? They have more of a longer stage to choose whether they're going to identify with their blackness or whiteness. But I also feel like that is environmental based too, what they're growing up around. Mm-hmm. Because if you ever hear Logic's story, I mean, his story is very comparable to most black kids.
And so it's crazy because his mom is freaking racist. If you listen to his lyrics, his mom called him a nigga. Like, literally. And his mom happens to be white. But you birthed a a biracial child, but you calling your child a nigga. Like, you gotta understand, like, the mental state of a person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so.
Like, that would drive anybody crazy. You know what I'm saying?
You know, the fact that he's learning how to control his speech, mm-hmm. and he's not around so many people, to kind of, like, for him to get in that sunken place. You know?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, people, like I said, they can relate to, they have to choose, and I feel like, you know, with him,
he shouldn't feel like he has to choose.
I feel like with music, let's be real though. Logic's fan base is
predominantly white.
It's predominantly white, but I will say it is multiracial.
It is.
Because if you look at it, you'll probably see more Hispanics, white, mm-hmm. Asians. You'll see some blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of blacks, you mm-hmm. know? So when it comes to.
When you say blacks, it's.
You know what I'm saying? You know, when you say blacks, it's like you gotta throw that. You know, that quotation mark us up. Well, what the hand sign they do? You see it from, not the whoa way every time. Bro, my kiddo was doing that. I can't even do it right.
Hit that whoa on him.
I was like, you got to loosen up.
Whoa.
But, I think, you remember Austin Powers?
Yeah.
And I think it was something in Austin Powers. They like just, the laser, Dr. Eva, the laser.
Right.
And so, when you do the hand sign,
right.
when you say some black people, y'all think about the same thing. It's, right. Black people,
black is,
you know,
such a wide spectrum.
So you just can't be so simplistic, because you got, let's just think about it like this. You got black people who are pro-black, barely, militant, ready to uprise, ready to make stuff revolutionize, stuff like that. Then you got some that are really neutral, ain't really about that. Yeah. Just want to keep it, you know, PG.
PG-13,
I want no problems with you. I want no problem with you. You know what I'm saying? Then you got the other black people like this. I'm not doing this at all.
I'm Tom.
You have a reason to call her what she is.
No, you got Uncle Ruckus.
Then you got Uncle Ruckus. Blaming black people for everything. Yeah. So, you know, I think when it comes to him and his music, it's like he's one of those artists where you wouldn't put him in a category. If he was a lyricist, be honest, he wouldn't be in a...
People wouldn't mess with
him. He wouldn't even be a thought.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, it's based upon, you know, race, but even though to me it's like this, I like the fact that he does identify and let people know that he is a black man.
Yeah.
But think about it, is it also depends on stronger the genetic of a black man when he infused into a white woman, because when they are birthing a kid, you don't really know who they're going to take after until they're like 7 or 8 years old, when they actually fully grow.
And he's fair skinned, so like fair a lot skin. Of people confuse him for being white. Why don't get it twisted?
I appreciate where he's coming from, but I think sometimes when it comes to black culture, black music, we classify things as if it ain't black.
Yeah, we ain't messing with it. But you gotta understand, like you said, it's a spectrum. Like it's a spectrum, but. Let's get into the favorite songs off this album. I think I got three. The opening track, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, I like that. The track he did with Eminem, Homicide, was pretty nice. Because when you got two lyricists, just, hey, I like lyrics. And then the third one features Mr. Will Smith. We got to talk about this wit.
Oh, Will came back. He hit him with the old school flow and came back.
Let's talk about
this. Different.
I think people disrespect Will Smith because people consider, and talking about spectrum of being black, I think people, like,
we know goofy hip hop.
Yeah, people don't, like, I think in our culture, I don't think we accept people within the black community that are quote unquote goofy, because it's not cool to be goofy a lot of times in our culture. We always got to be hard. It's like,
and I think that's
play a little bit,
bro. We can play and relax.
Like, it's all
and
right. I just think that's what I like about Will Smith energy, because he don't care what nobody think. He is who he is on the track, and it's, I think, like, he brings that energy. So, yeah, I really like that track. It was called Don't Be Afraid to Be Different. And, like, that basically describes Will Smith. I think, like, Logic being on the track with him, I think that brought him up, too. Like, being on the track with a man like that that's been through, everything. We saw Will Smith, like, through hip-hop. Then we saw him on Fresh Prince and now where he is now. So, like...
Bro, even if you hear the story of, like, you know... After his first album, you know, it was nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. It was no play.
Mm-hmm.
He was riding the bus still.
Mm-hmm.
spent all his money and stuff, like he wasn't that smart about it. Mm-hmm. And he said basically when he got Fresh Prince, it was his bounce back. Mm-hmm. And he took that as like this was the opportunity, yeah, and all this. And then it made more room for him to do other music. Like, you can't discredit Will Smith, dog. I say this.
People forget that he is a rapper.
He is a rapper. And that's like...
And I understand because he's a big movie star. So it makes sense as to why people overlook that. So, like, I get it.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for Will Smith because I feel like if you just really pay attention, there's a lot of songs, dance songs that he made that were, like, really high.
And then, to be honest, bro, like, people be afraid to admit that they like some of his songs, bro. And he got a classic song, that Summertime Madness. Like, that's in every freaking cookout. You can't deny it.
Even when your Uncle Elroy is messing up the ribs.
Yep. You got that Summertime Madness playing in the background.
Like, hey, messing up got that one cousin going like, cousin!
Right.
Like, come sit down somewhere.
So,
then you got your uncles at the domino table about to fight over over the score.
Or spades or whatever they playing. But,
spades, yeah. Spades, you know, spades. Black folks and spades. Yeah, it's an argument.
We'll be ready to kill you. I was like, hey,
I will cut you. Right. I was like, all right, man, you got it.
So, we was talking about Logic as a lyricist. So, where do you think he ranks in today's hip-hop as a lyricist?
Well,
what do you think?
I think in today's of hip-hop,
compared to...
He'll be in the top 10.
Yeah.
And to me, you can't really debate that. If we talking about hip-hop lyricists...
Yeah. Who are you putting them up next to? Like,
that's a good question.
What do you think about... When you hear lyricists,
well, you gotta think about it. It's kind of hard. We talking mainstream or underground?
It don't matter. It don't matter to me.
It don't matter to you. But that's the thing, though. That's you.
That's true.
Because everybody's ear of music is different. So that's true. I can't even say who I was.
So let's. So mainstream. This is it. It's mainstream.
Well, mainstream. There's really nobody that's comparable to him. Like,
you don't think nobody? You don't think that? You don't think like a rapper like Jid or J. Cole, Kendrick?
Oh, yeah. Well, J. Cole, Kendrick. We talking about names like that.
Yeah. Like people in
you
this
said Jid?
Yeah, Jid.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Chance? You think Chance could flow with him on the track?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to have to table that one. I can't even tell you.
Okay.
Because I think there's so many artists now that I could say, but it's kind of weird. You know how, like, when you think of music a certain way,
mm-hmm.
you don't really bring nobody into that category because is very specific.
Saying.
You know, like, I feel like when it comes to J. Cole, how he evolved.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't really put him up against that because I think
features he's been on?
Yeah.
You listen to his latest features?
No, I'm talking about J. Cole is hot, but I'm talking about like bars. I will pick Cole over Logic.
I don't know.
Popularity, yes.
I know Logic really tapped in.
Yeah.
If he goes Super Saiyan, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at like what is your highest level you can hit to, you know, and I understand not everybody hits that level, but I'm saying if you really tap into who you are, bro, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's real.
But yeah, I would agree with you right now. He is a top 10 lyricist. Like I say, it's all about is he stepping in to what he should be, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I throw him up there. I think he go well with a lot of these modern day rappers, rappers.
Mainstream, yeah. I agree. I think it would be kind of hard for me to kind of put him up against anybody because I like too many people.
I do too.
And so, you know.
I'll be trying like to me, not to I'll have like, the bias there.
Yeah, that's
like,
why.
I'm trying to like literally break them
so,
down.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if I can't really put him up against anybody because I'm always have a bias because I'm a fan of a lot of artists and that's not really fair to Logic. I feel like this. If Logic tap into his full potential, I guarantee Logic will remind you of the Eminem back in the 90s, early 2000s. Logic will also remind you of, a little bit of Weezy when Weezy used to just spit.
He remind me a little bit of Kendrick too.
Kendrick too? Like, but think about it. If you breaking it down early, like just by the name of people, that's evolution right there.
Right.
Of what type of artist that he can evolve and become.
Yeah, because,
yeah.
He definitely evolves around that Eminem, Lil Wayne, Kendrick Lane, that weird, they are like freaking aliens. Even Andre 3000, like, yeah, man, I'm talking about, dude, these dudes is like aliens when it comes to like just words, being wordsmiths or whatever. It's like, they're thinking about stuff the average human being don't think about. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, be like, you know, Wayne don't really watch TV.
Yeah.
So when people, they be asking him questions, I be laughing because the people don't think
he's not crazy. Tuned in into what the mainstream is.
Yeah, like only time, I think he uses Instagram rarely, then he got somebody else doing the marketing.
Yeah, so.
But Andre 3000 is like another one of those artists that slept on too, so you know.
Alien. Freaking alien.
That's somebody else that you gotta listen to too.
Right.
But so, on that album, yeah. Logic album, I think only up. Confessions, the one of Dangerous Mind, the one with M, and the one with Wiz.
Ah, I forgot about that track.
He has never had a bad, you know, song with Wiz. Yeah, their collaboration has never had a bad song.
Yeah, Wiz know how to make songs too, like catchy songs.
Bro, but that's the music industry, bro. Just like 50 Cent said, he said, you got to know how to write a song versus just going in there and want to rap.
Yeah.
Because you have to make sure the structure of it makes sense. And a lot of that, like, Nipsey said it. He said he had to go to Diddy to try to get, you know, to understand
how to actually make a song, make a record.
To make it sound more than what it
more
is.
More appealing to a wide mass of people.
Like that Life After Death album, Biggie. Like that, I feel like that album, like, he
that's
his death.
Bro, that album, a lot of people like Ready to Die, but Life After Death is his best album. I don't care what nobody say.
Oh, yeah, that's always
Life After Death,
though.
Because the fact that he was able to predict, like you said, it was prophetic.
Yeah, it's like true. Dr. King predicted.
It's crazy, yeah. So, let's move on. We know you want to, you know, we was talking about Mr. Ye earlier. So
praise the Ye.
You heard on the intro we had, what was that, from his...
Sunday
Kanye's church Sunday service, yeah.
I don't want to call it church, but...
Yeah, it was like... Yeah, it had a real gospel feel.
Because I think he also clarified, ain't no scriptures being read.
Oh, Lord.
Being, what do you say? Those scriptures are being, what's to say? Those scriptures are being read.
So, yeah, let's talk about that.
I got to testify. Come and do the looking extra fly.
All right, dude.
You already know. We on it.
We on it, but
test the sky!
So, let's talk about the Sunday service. I know a lot of people been down on Kanye lately, but, like, what was your overall feelings? I wanted to talk about this earlier, but I didn't have nobody to talk about it with, so I thought it would be proper. I know you a big Kanye fan.
Yeah,
so
Kanye West. So used to be my name, Mr. Grant, Kanye West.
So, how do you feel about the whole setup that he's doing right now?
From a mental health standpoint, I think it's healthy because music has an interesting way of vibration of waves and frequencies to connect with the actual inner spirit, which I think we have the inner spirit. People, when you say your natural instinct, it's really called your aurora, which is you can naturally instinctively sense the essence of people, energy, and stuff like that. So I feel like that was really good to see him connecting with his spirit. Yeah, in his element, connecting with his spirit.
You can tell he's very comfortable in that.
And it felt churchy. I don't care, but that's the thing about, you know,
Christian.
But I don't even want to get into it because there's a whole nother conversation. That's why people don't like religion so much, because I don't like religion. I believe in God. I believe having a relationship with
Me
the Father.
Too, yeah, I agree.
And I do understand the Trinity, and I respect that simply because, you know, to me, it's not just about scripture, but scripture is a foundation.
Yeah, it's like guidelines.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah,
I ain't trying to put my stuff out on nobody else. It's for you to figure out what you know, what you.
Because I can't enforce my beliefs.
I'm not going to force what I think or whatever onto you. But that's what, like I'm saying, but you get it.
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like, you know, to me personally, I ain't going to fake. I know it's all jokes, but if Kanye had a church, I would go to it because... your spirit feels connected. You step out of this place of self-doubt. All these inner insecurities and everything that's like enforced upon the world. I think even when he said in the world, he said, the world, America, has you thinking that this is the way we're supposed to be. Really, a lot of us are programmed And when you got somebody,
let's break that down. Program, what
bro? Because think about it, bro. Black folks, we were raised to kind of like, if you come from a church or household like you and I do, like our parents up there in age, they kind of believed in you go to school, get a job, you work. Don't say too much. Don't say too less.
Yeah,
you know, we millennials, that just ain't the
thing. Yeah, that's not our way.
Nah, like, we own some reparations.
We trying to be independent. We trying to have
yeah, we want that reparation.
You want give me my 40 acres in the
middle. Right. Well, so, you know, it's a different time. So, you know.
You got to upgrade.
Yeah, you definitely got to upgrade.
So, yeah.
So, I just feel like, you know, that's what programming is. You're going based off the societal norms. And that's why people fall into the social insta gratification of this is what you think you need. Your lane is your lane for a reason, man. Your destiny is your destiny. No one can tell you what you're supposed to do. At some point, you just have to tap into yourself and dig deep and find out what you're called to do. And once you realize what you're called to do, jump. Don't look back. And that's what I've been doing when it comes to fitness. That's what I've been doing when it comes to motivational speaking. That's what I've been doing. Anything that comes in my mind, taking risks. And even though, don't look at it like this. Like, don't get so caught up in the end goal, trying to reach the end goal. Get in love with the process. And I think that's what, yeah, that's what the fitness part for me. I don't care nothing about the end goal, dog. I care.
Well, you do, but
yeah, at the same time, but I think I'm more infused into the process because that's where you learn what failure is. And to me, failure really doesn't
exist. But you
gotta
look at what is failure though. What is failure?
What is success? What do you define it as? You know? So, I know we're going off a different spectrum of conversation,
no,
but
I think it all ties
like,
in into the Kanye.
Yeah, but I just feel like seeing Kanye tap into his spirit where he comes from a great people, man. So, I feel like his music.
Just look at the pedigree.
If it was his parents, if it was a church, honestly, I ain't gonna fake. I feel like when I heard that, me personally, called a Sunday service, I feel like it drove me back to wanting to get more involved in the church because it really tapped into letting me know and making me realize that. Yeah, we focus like, bro, the church ain't really about the people in it because you're going to have bad apples. The people who are programmed to be negative. Some people have never seen naturally good people. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for them to be positive. So the first instinct for them is to be negative, to have a negative comment, even when you're positive. And what was good about just listening to his music, and if you ever listen to some of the ways how he created some of his songs where it really focused on the vibration of your spirit so you can tap into yourself and how to control certain waypoints, your energy, basically, right? I think for me, it made me realize that, you know, why we have to continue to help improve ourselves to spread that positive love and energy. For sure. If that makes sense?
No, that made total sense. I heard you speaking about, like, your life purpose, your mission, and once you figure out what that is, you got to take that leap of faith. So what do you think Kanye's, tying it back to the Kanye's church service, or what do you think his purpose in life is at this moment in time?
I think his purpose in life right now, like he said, healing. Healing. Mm-hmm. And love is the most important thing that we don't, like,
one of the highest vibrations.
Yeah, we don't fall upon and, like, lean in on it, you know? You know, like, faith is the hidden substance of things hidden and unseen. And when we're relying on everything else, we kind of become faithless. So we don't take those risks. Mm-hmm. I think his purpose right now is to make people more consciously aware and subconsciously aware of the things we do, the things that we say, the energy we force upon other people. Like, it has a big effect. So I think his purpose is really just to realign us, restructure us, make us see a different perspective. Step outside of yourself and want to do something that's not just about yourself. And so for me personally, if Kanye had a church, I would be a deacon, an usher. It's one of the same things, I guess, whatever. Because I feel like it reminded me of, like, how flawed we are. How flawed we are, and everybody's going through something.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I feel like, to me, it gave me more hope. It gave me more hope just to try to just say, people ain't perfect, but if I'm this person, I'm positive, something like that, keep that same energy, because you don't know who you're affecting. And so you may be blessing somebody else's life with your positive vibration. So I feel like Kanye, him tapping into that, him finding peace, him really like trying to handle and deal with those problems that he never, bro, Kanye has never been able to really grieve his mother's death. And now that he's finally going through a process of that, railing, oh, he's crazy. Man, you gotta think about it. People that's not doing what is crazy, like, shoot, people doing something that you're not doing is crazy because you're not willing to take the risk. That's what I'm saying. Like this, people get caught up in, like, you know, artists. Like, I love them, music, they good. Nah, bruh. Like Megan Stallion. Yeah. But like this, I think I put it on my Instagram. Let me know. I'm about to get into this. Just like Megan Stallion, it's just like, yeah, like it sounds like she got a good flow going. She remind you of somebody you from the hood, someone you used to try to mess with in high school. Cause I ain't gonna lie, me and my little ghetto chicks. But I'm just saying though, it sound good, right? Yeah. It sound good, but when it comes back down to
what's the substance?
What's the substance? And there's no substance.
I think, like we was talking behind the scenes, I think she's got a gift.
No, she definitely got but that's what I'm saying. Like, this is what Kanye basically saying, though, when it comes back to people that are trying to enforce something on you and trying to take you out from your purpose and you trying to do everything else.
Megan Stallion sucks you dry. Yeah,
Megan Stallion is a prime example of that. She's doing everything that the social norms of what people she believes that people want to hear. But if she sit down and do what she want to do and body a beat, come on now, she gifted. And I think she can do it.
And I think the problem
is she's a souped-up version of Supergirls. Where'd it go? City Girls?
City Girls.
But you know they ain't write they stuff, so you know, I can't really put them in a category. And Yachty did that, man. Boy, that man, I was like, man, that's another debate. How you can tap into a woman head? Like, I guess that's pretty easy, I guess. I don't know, but that was kind of hot. I'm like, how you get that power? I need that power!
Yeah.
What you thinking, girl? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, no, y'all, I'm a crazy guest. I'm sorry. But for real, but I feel like Kanye is really trying to get us to focus back on love. And I feel like the church for me is a strong foundation for all of us who are black. We get caught up in that black church hurt, but we have to understand it makes you realize that we can't be distracted from our journey. So when you're going into just the church itself, don't be distracted by the broken apples. I mean, you know, all you can really do is focus on what you need to get. And exactly. What you can get and spread that energy out to the world. So getting back, recenter of love, peace, and harmony, and operating in such so you can fulfill your purpose. It just lets you notice, like, everybody has their flaws, and it really reminds you of what grace is. Loving from a place that is, like, broken. Like, you know, you're not perfect. If you walk around perfect, then it kind of is going to distract, you know, your whole premise of what your mission is. You know what I mean?
Right.
I hope that makes some type of sense. It just basically saying, you really understand what grace really means when you're around people who are broken and how to love them from a place that's hard.
Yeah.
Nah, I feel that that's what Kanye is trying to make his tap back into.
Yeah. And I think it's good that we had this conversation about Kanye because, you know, just the word Kanye is very divisive for people. And I think it's important for us to kind of like talk these things out as far as when it comes to something divisive because it really shows us a lot about ourselves. I think it's important to tap into that and have these in-depth conversations, not these one-note, oh, Kanye's this, Kanye's that, and then we just go at it. No, like, let's dive into why do we think that is. Like,
it's basically like this. We can't be so quick to criticize without a solution.
Exactly.
Because I think the thing about us as people, we're quick to say what we don't like.
But why don't you like it?
But why don't you like it? We don't ever question
our
life.
Have you ever sat down and thought about that?
Yeah, because if you debate a person about what they don't like, half the time they're going to be running around the actual question. And so sometimes that's another, again, mindfulness, bro.
Cognitive dissonance.
Bro, yeah, mindfulness. Tap right into that. Recenter yourself and really ask like this. I didn't really like how this made me feel, but why do I feel the way I feel? Really ask yourself these questions because once you get to the end of finding out, like, the end result as far as the end of it, then you really think, like, I guess that really wasn't the thing, you know?
It's like doing self-therapy.
Yeah. Basically, bro, because we really need it. You know, hey, bro, people who are bipolar, people aren't saying that's a real thing because I can actually attest to that. It's like, we don't like certain words, but I feel like, you know, you got to be very, like, again, like, crazy. The word crazy is kind of when I wouldn't use that word. I just use it, but I normally would use that word outside of this random people because that's me infusing my energy on them, mm-hmm. a negative energy. Mm-hmm. So you got to understand your power. I just think that, you know, when you know that you're a powerful being, you know how to operate within your power. Mm-hmm. People don't know how gifted they are until someone continues to tell them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need that 17 times to be like, hey, that one time to absorb it and take it. Mm-hmm. My bad, y'all. We on different conversation as always.
It's all good because, like I said, it ties in.
If you knew, if y'all knew me as a person, yeah, I'd be just talking, man. Yeah. I could talk.
So,
yeah.
All right. Our final thoughts. We're going to wrap up our final thoughts. Artist of the week. I'm going to go ahead and go with... Who did I do? I'm going to have to go with... I'm not going to do a certain artist. I'm going to go with the Dreamville team. They dropped two really nice songs this week, actually. So I'm going to go with them. I like what they're doing. I hope they come out with this daggone compilation album. I'm tired of waiting on it. I think they got something big coming out. I like the energy. They kind of... They seem like they really on one accord, and I like that. I like seeing like people coming together, one focused goal, and I like from the music I'm hearing, I was like, okay, it sounds like they tapping in. So I'm gonna go with the Dreamville crew. That includes J. Cole, of course, Boz, Jid, Kaz, Ari Lennox. Did I mention who am I missing? You know, I'm missing somebody, but it'll come back to me later. But yeah,
well, I guess since we on hip hop, I think who I've grown fond of, and I think it's just more of this because I feel like sometimes I can be very centric and old.
Yeah, we wrong with
that. I think I'm gonna have to go with Buddy.
You like Buddy. Okay.
I kind of fell in love with Buddy. And I like that, but you know what I mean, the music. I think he kind of rubbed off on me in a way I didn't expect.
Yeah, why you say that?
Because I think it's just sometimes when you listen to new artists, man, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm that type of dude where I feel like I have to see you evolve.
Evolution.
Yeah, like evolving over time, the evolution of time, but when it comes to your music, I feel like, you know, when I was hearing Khaled, her and all them, I feel like it's the same type of music coming out, sad and slow.
It is, man. DJ Khaled.
No, I'm talking about Khaled.
Oh, okay.
The same Khalid. Khalid. What's that?
Okay,
Khalid.
Yeah.
Khalid, well, my bad.
Yeah.
How, you know, I don't know his name.
I thought you were talking about DJ Khaled.
No, DJ Khaled is another debate, man. I think I'm tired of all remakes. I'm tired of the remakes, though. Like, I feel like he messed up a classic, but that wasn't the question. You already know what I'm talking about. Sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real.
We talked about that last episode, so yeah.
I feel like he's not destroying something. I like how he's doing it, but it's making me like, not a really.
It's just cheapening the music.
It's cheapening the music. I feel like, dude, you need to go back and we need that Khaled to just. I don't
carefree
know, man.
Khaled. That like, carefree Khaled. It's like he's like real business oriented. He's kind of like.
When you get in the money music game, you got to.
I get that.
I mean, I guess he's trying to provide for her side.
I get that, but at the same time, you got to keep it. You gotta, you know, keep it centered, though, at the same time, you know, but...
Yeah, I like Buddy, man. I like the flow, I like the style of the music, because it brings more of the 70s and 80s back kind of reminiscent. You know, the song he got with Snoop. What's that song called he got with Snoop? The Blue? I thought that was pretty cool, but I think what I like the most on that album is I Have to Go to Play It. Speechless.
Yeah.
It take you back. Well, I feel like the old school car wash.
That sound
you
like,
got me speechless.
That sound like he was really influenced by Isaac Hayes.
Yeah, that's
that
what I was feeling
like.
Yeah.
Hayes.
It take you kind of back though.
Yeah,
smooth,
back to my time.
Relaxed. But it should remind you like when Friday came out. It's Friday. In the
you ain't got no job. Who you gonna get?
You ain't got to do. So, you know, I'm going to have to say Buddy, man. Buddy definitely has been influencing me, taking me back up. Really back to what music is.
Yeah. For sure, for sure. So, what was next? Oh yeah. Sleeper albums or songs, past or present. My sleeper song happens to be this song called Urban Jazz by this artist, IMDDB. I can't really describe like her, this particular artist, but I'm gonna try to play the music for you so you can kind of get an idea of who she is. So let me go ahead and play this for you. Let's see. It's real smooth. I don't know.
So really,
right now I've got a storm I never heard of, cause this is my comfort zone. It's kind of real chill, laid back type of vibe. Kind of like that song you playing with Buddy. But yeah, I happened to come along to this artist just listening to the title, and after I got done listening to a particular album, like it does the mixes, and then she kind of popped up in my feed, and I was like, oh, stop, who this? Let me listen to this a little bit more. But yeah, that is my sleeper artist, or song, I should say. And then my sleeper album is called Everything Is For Sale. It's by this artist named Boogie. He's a rap artist under the, I think he's under Eminem's label, Shady, or whatever it's called. And he dropped an album. It's basically Everything's For Sale. It's, people will confuse it for just being kind of like a Drake album type of feel or whatever, dealing with relationships and breakups. But it's really about dealing with yourself, your inner self, and being able to rebuild yourself through hardships or whatever. So I'm gonna play like a quick snippet of one of the songs. Let me just do the intro track. It's called Tired and Reflections.
Shut up. I really like the song right now. It's like, shut up.
Shut up.
Get high. Yo. They like, nigga, we tired of hearing you poor. Watch your heart about how you in the struggle and how you at war with yourself and how you not confident and you insecure. I'm tired of that shit. I don't want to hear that story no more. Tired. Nigga, ain't you tired of telling it? Ain't you tired of not being relevant? Ain't you tired of talking about your ex and your relative and digging up skeletons? Ain't you fucking tired? Nigga, shut up. Right, I am fucking tired. I'm tired of working at myself. I want to be perfect already. I'm tired of the dating process. I want to know what's certain already. I'm tired of questioning if God real. I want to get murdered already.
The police are arriving on the scene. No one knows what's happened yet. We're waiting for the police.
So yeah, that was the intro track or whatever. But yeah, that gives you kind of an idea what the album is going to be about. And like I said, it is an album about dealing with relationships and breaking off with people. It's more so, like I said, dealing with yourself and being able to rebuild yourself to elevate higher as a being. So yeah, if you get a chance, definitely go check out that album. I think it'll help a lot of people or whatever if you're going through something. So Mr. T.A., do you have a sleeper song?
Well, I don't think I really do, but you know, I love R&B, you know, my foundation of things. So, you know, I don't care what people say about Chris Brown. I like Chris Brown. I do wish he get back.
Did he drop some new music?
Yeah, I really feel like I want him to get back to really singing, because right now he's focused on the entertainment. Mm-hmm.
Still doing a lot of that auto-tune stuff.
Yeah, and I feel like bro, you too gifted, bro. You already got the talent. So I would have to say he got this song that I've been playing a lot. You know, I think what's it called? What is it called? Man, let me see if this is it. Random play, y'all. Just got to make sure. I think it's Paradise. Yeah, Paradise. And it's on the album Heartbreak on Full Moon. I think it's a sleeper song because it made me realize, like, this is the Chris Brown, like, I know. Really, like, when he evolved, really taking that risk of, like, showing people that, like, I've been writing. I'm tapping into myself and what I'm thinking. You know what I'm saying? So, I'll have to say that will be my sleeper song. Definitely Paradise or Heartbreak on a Full Moon. I like that song. It just makes you really appreciate the music, how it come together. And it's really cool. I feel like Timbaland was on this beat, to be honest, though. Just how it breaks down. Because, you know, Timbaland just makes mad crazy beats on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I hear some things like in the middle of the song, the breakdown, that I feel like, yeah, that sound like something Timbaland would do.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so the other one, what was your other question, sir?
What is your sleeper album?
My sleeper album?
It'd be past, present, you know, don't have to be.
Past, in the present.
The immediate present.
Sleeper album. See, this is going to, we actually have to go and tap into.
I have to dig into the crate.
Dig into the crate. You have to go to my artist, you know, who. Well, I think, you know, I'm going to have to be real because I don't feel like BJ the Chicago Kid. I think, you know, that's another person I feel like people sleeping on because he kind of remind you of the 90s, don't he? He got that 90s.
He also kind of got that.
He got that 90s.
70s and 80s. 80s, yeah. He kind of remind me a little bit of Marvin Gaye. You give me a little Marvin Gaye feel sometimes.
Yeah, so I would have to say when he did Pineapples Now and Later and he did this song, he used Dream 2, it's called Dream 2, and he used Will Smith soundbite. I'm playing it a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
where I excel is ridiculous, sickening work ethic. You know, while the other guy's sleeping, I'm working. While the other guy's eating, I'm working. I have a great time with my life, and I want to share.
Most people wake up if you ever turn up.
And that's why I say, like, when it comes to conscious music, for me, I have to be able to feel it. I mean, I have to be able to, yeah, I have to be able to kind of like change my lens and, you know, put me into that actual space and be like, what am I really doing in life? Like, that's why I really feel like, you know, when it comes to spreading love and, you know, positive energy, it really has to come from a place where you really think and channel into yourself, like, what I've been doing this whole time. And so, when I listen to BJ the Chicago Kid, it reminds me of restoration. Like, why is it so important to come back to yourself and rebuild and, you know, reconsolidate whatever you had going on so you can persevere and move forward? So, that's just me. You may not get that, but yeah.
So, what album was that on?
That was off Pineapples Now and Later.
DJ to Chicago.
Yeah, and that was 2012. And I think for me, that it is still relevant to now because, like right here, what do you say?
My nigga Rico Love said,
turn the lights. I'm still dreaming. And so, what are you doing to tap into that dream? And that's really what this song is talking about. Dream 2 is like, when are you going to turn that light on so you can feel it? So you can be what you always say, envision yourself to be.
I want my life. I want my work, my family. I want it to
mean something.
And
it's like, I feel like if you walk through life.
Legacy.
Yeah, legacy right there. And that's what music is better. Like when you're consciously aware, like conscious hip-hop. And R&B music, when it's kind of like really making you question your state of being and what are you doing to really walk into your purpose and operate your purpose.
There's no reason to have a plan because it distracts.
That's very crucial. So that's why I believe in when you grow up and you reach the level of maturity and your mind wakes up, especially for men because we wake up a little bit later, it's very imperative that you start to make things more intentional. How you treat people have to be more intentional, you know, intentional. How you go about things, relationships are what you need. It is hard, but you have to take risk on life. That's me, man.
Yeah, with that having been said, it's been a very wonderful episode. I appreciate my boy TA coming on here and helping me with this podcast.
Long overdue, 2 weeks.
I know. But we did it, hey.
Yeah, we got it done.
All within divine timing. I don't care, you know, everything happens for a reason. So, yeah, so if you're listening to us for the first time, this is Taste Test Podcast again. You can be found anywhere podcast platforms are, Apple Podcasts, I should say, Spotify. I was about to say Audacity, but I'm tripping. Stitcher, SoundCloud, yeah. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Taste Test Pod, Instagram Taste Test Podcast, and Facebook Taste Test Podcast. And that is it. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Remember to like, share, subscribe. We'll be back with another episode very soon. Thank you. Have a great day.